We have to press in to the plan, the will of God. God is moving, but we need to be moving with Him. Amen? God never stopped moving. But He's looking for someone that will move with Him. In the wilderness, they were to follow His lead. Amen? Fire by night, the cloud by day. And when the Lord rested, they were to rest. When the cloud moved, they were to move. It's being called led by the Spirit, right? But if He's moving and we're not, well, we're not going to be very productive, are we? Because Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. So it's about stepping, walking in step with the Holy Spirit every day. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the guide in you. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord will lead you into all truth. He'll lead you in His ways. That's why the psalmist could say, lead us in your paths of righteousness, right? For your name's sake. Why is that? So that we would glorify and honor the Lord in the way that we're living our lives. Because we only have so much time. Amen. There's an expiration date, a beginning and the ending. And so now that we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Amen. Especially those of the household of faith. Hallelujah. So we've been praying, believing that it's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And many of these lives are going to be impacted forever. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you cannot be touched by the Lord and remain the same. Amen. So all we need is His touch. Hallelujah. Oh, we press in. I think of that, again, the woman with the issue of blood was pressing in through the crowds, through the distractions, right? Through the hindrances, if you will, so that she could touch the hem of His garment. Amen. And be healed. Hallelujah. He's still healing today, isn't He? Amen. How many here have received a healing from the Lord? Amen. Look at that. Amen. How many here have received a healing from the Lord in the last week? Look at that. Yeah, several. Yeah. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger, right? Yes. Hallelujah. So the Lord wants to give us, you know, His Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Amen. Ask and you shall receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here today. Amen. In His presence with His people, singing praises, and how glorious it is. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. For there the Lord what commands the blessing, even life evermore. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence today. Thank You for the work You're doing in every heart, every life. Lord, thank You that You guide our steps every day, Lord, that we trust You with our days, with our future, Lord. And as we acknowledge You in all of our ways, You said You would direct our path, and You do that. And for that, we are grateful. We thank You that You are visiting us here in these meetings we're having, Lord, and that You are doing a work. Lord, You're making us into a sign and wonder. We are the sign and wonder that the world is watching and say, wow, look what the Lord has done. And we give You praise, give You glory, because You are the miracle worker. Hallelujah. You are the way maker. Amen. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. Hallelujah. Well, thank You, Lord. Title of the message this morning is More Than Words. More Than Words. More Than Words. Amen. But it's going to have a whole different theme. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord spoke in the very beginning, didn't He? Let there be light. It was the sound of His voice. And then there was the manifestation of light. First there was the sound, and then there was the manifestation of creation. So God has chosen words. Amen. Even as we hear the word of the gospel. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And faith is you and I agreeing and believing in our hearts the message that God gives us and acting upon it. And so Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, have you ever struggled with this verse? Has it ever struck fear in your heart? Have you ever thought, I wonder if that could be me someday? Huh? When I see the Lord, I don't want to hear him say, what? I never knew you. And it's interesting that you spoke that very word. I never knew you. But that is actually key to understanding this verse. It's not a matter of, I once knew the Lord, or I had a relationship, I kind of backslid, I went away from the Lord. But he said, I never knew you. And that's very important that we see that, because it makes the difference, doesn't it, between those who are known of the Lord and those who aren't. Do you know that God knows everybody? He knows every soul. He knows that all souls belong to him. They don't belong to the devil. The devil just doesn't take a soul. I know some people think he's just come and take your soul. No, he can't. Because all souls are mine, says the Lord. They belong to God. And only God has the power, amen, to cast soul into hell. And as a matter of fact, the devil's days are limited, aren't they? And he's going to be spending some time there, amen, eternity. The day is coming when he will be cast into the lake of fire. And every knee is going to bow to him, every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ. But he said, not everyone who says to me, and in other words, they just may have acknowledged him, they may have made a verbal confession of him, but just because somebody makes a verbal confession of Jesus does not mean they're saved. They may speak or say the right things to Jesus or about Jesus, but didn't really mean it. This is a superficial believer. You know, some people are crowd people. They do what the crowd does. They're event people. There's a great thing happening over here. I'll go to that. I'll attend the event. And I'll be with the crowd. And while I'm at the crowd, I'll just assimilate into the crowd. I'll be a chameleon. And I'll blend in. But how many know God knows those who are his? I mean, some people, they may go to church. They may claim to be a Christian. And perhaps serve in some capacity. But there are those who will do these things and yet not be truly converted in their heart. So this warning really applies to people who say, Lord, Lord, and yet their confession has nothing to do with their daily life. So when we're born again, amen, the fear of the Lord is in us. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a sign, amen, that you are coming to know the Lord. There will be a reverential fear or awe of him. How many know that healthy fear of the Lord keeps you? It protects you from falling away. Amen. You're working on the job, and everybody's kind of chatting and goofing up and goofing off, and then the boss walks in, and all of a sudden everybody's a busy beaver again. The conversation has changed from whatever they were talking about to now work. Come on, why? Because they recognized authority, right? There's an authority. God establishes authority. And so it's that way with the Lord. When the Lord is in us, come on, we have the authority of God in us. There's a sense, amen, that we are under, come on, authority now. The Spirit is in charge. Amen. And we have to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. But the fear of the Lord is a sign that God is in you. And remember when Jesus said this, he said, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Amen. And they asked Jesus, well, Lord, what shall we do that we may do the works of the Lord? He said, believe on him whom the Father has sent. Yes. Believe on me. Put your faith in me. Come on, he didn't say, put your faith in me and do this. He said, trust me. Only he can save. Jesus said, if a man tries to save his life, he will lose it. So when we come to the Lord, we come surrendered. Amen? We surrender our life to him. Amen? And when you surrender your life to him, amen, then he takes possession of your life. And how many know that God can keep that which you've committed unto him? He can keep that which you've committed unto him. Amen. His grace is sufficient to keep you. And it's the fear of the Lord that will protect you again from wandering too far off. Come on, somebody. Because when the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you will hate what God hates. And you'll love what he loves. People who claim to be Christians and yet have pleasure in unrighteousness do not know the Lord yet. They really don't know the Lord yet. A tree is known by its fruit. So Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Not collaborate with it. Pride, arrogance, and the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Jeremiah 31:33, but this is the covenant, speaking of the new covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God. He didn't say, I'll write it in a devotional manual. But he's going to write it on your heart. Amen? Nothing wrong with a devotional. But if you don't have the substance, which is Christ, if you don't have the law in you, the law maker, the word, amen, in you, then you have no life. Because he is life. Amen? So in Christ is to be in life. Come on. And he says, I will be their God, they shall be my people. And the Apostle John said this, 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. Well, what is the commandment of the Lord? What did Jesus say? Love. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. A new commandment. And all the commandments are summed up in this one word, love. Love one another. How many know, once again, we cannot love on command? You can't come up to somebody on the street and say, you will love me and you will marry me. You'll get smacked, right? That don't work that way. Love has to be consensual. It has to be a choice. Amen. So God gave us that freedom to choose, free will, so that we would choose to obey him, choose to love him, choose to serve him. Amen. Not out of obligation, but out of gratitude and out of love for him. Come on. Because we appreciate everything he's done for us. Hallelujah. He saved us. Amen. So he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Very important. That the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen. When a person is born again, their lives will no longer be governed by just a superficial obedience to the sacred page of Scripture. Now hear this. But by the indwelling Spirit of God. A legalist simply goes by the text, but they don't have the substance. Legalism is loveless devotion. Amen? Life is a relationship with Him who is life. Amen? It's a love relationship. It's a marriage. We're married to the Lord. Amen? And we love Him because He first loved us, gave Himself for us. Amen? And He put His love in our hearts for Him. You can't love on command. You can only love God as you encounter, experience His love in you. As His love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you will love God back. You will praise Him, hallelujah, because the love of God compels you to say, God, You're so good. God, You're so awesome. Lord, I love You. Lord, I appreciate You. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. Thank You, Lord, for taking care of me. Thank You for always being there for me. We need to have the law of sin written on our hearts. Matthew 7:22, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, he's referring to the coming day of judgment that is coming for all people. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, cast out demons in Your name, and done many wonders in Your name? Well, then He will say, I never knew you. Who are you? And He says, depart from me, verse 23, you who practice lawlessness. Now, when you're born again, the law is where? Written on your heart. By the word that comes within. Amen. We have the word in us. We have a teacher who dwells within us. Amen. And He's the one that will say to you, this is the way, walk in it. And when you get out of line, amen, He'll also scold you. Come on. Amen. And He'll give you a little course correction. And if you're really stubborn, He'll take you, you know, out behind the shed, if you will. And He'll get our attention because He loves us. Amen. A father who loves a son will discipline a son. Amen. And we have a loving Heavenly Father that disciplines us because He loves us. He really does. Jesus claimed He's the one that people will stand before on that final day of judgment because He is Lord. He's given assurance of this. Why? Because He's been raised. God raised Him from the dead and given Him that place of preeminence. So prophesying, casting out demons, signs and wonders, these are good. Amen. But they're not necessarily a sign that a person has a true connection with Jesus. And a lot of people are duped by these things because they follow after these things rather than the heart of God. If you pursue the heart of God, out of your life will flow these things. But it never says pursue signs and wonders, but it says seek the Lord and His strength. Amen. Amen. So if we will seek the face of the Lord, amen, if we will have communion with the Lord in the Spirit, amen, then He will open the eyes of our hearts so that we will be able to understand what God wants to do through our lives. He'll make it clear to us how He wants to work. You see, Jesus didn't just do whatever He thought was a good idea. Somebody say amen. And sometimes we do that, though. I think this is a good idea. I think I'll do this. Come on. I mean, you may say, well, I have this gift of word of knowledge, you know. I've heard a lot of people have a word of knowledge, and they're beating around with generalities and trying to manipulate things to try to fit, you know, that word. Come on. When God gives a word of knowledge, it is laser clear. Amen. It is very defined. I mean, it's not, well, could be maybe, sort of. But when God is speaking, He speaks with clarity. Come on. So we don't want to be prophesying out of our own heart or mind. Amen. Or even our memory. Unless the Holy Spirit is bringing it to our memory. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. You know, Jesus didn't say here, you didn't really prophesy or cast out demons or do miracles in my name. He didn't say you didn't. He said, many will say, Lord, haven't we? And then he says, I never knew you. So don't be too quick to assume that because someone does these things that they are a true servant of the Lord. Why am I saying that? Because the enemy can operate and counterfeit signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. But I will tell you this, if you seek the Lord Jesus, amen, you won't get a demon. You won't be deceived. Amen. But if you're seeking just for power, come on, or signs and wonders, yes, the enemy will step right in there. Why? Because that becomes the idol. And behind every idol is a demon. So an important key to understand this passage, again, is the part where Jesus said, I never knew you. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Hallelujah. It didn't say, I used to know you, but I never knew you. So if you're a child of God today, won't you take comfort in the fact that if you are born of the Spirit, if Christ is in you, then you are known of the Lord. He knows those who are His. Amen. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Hallelujah. The question is, are we in Christ or not? That's really the question. Amen. So the true children of God are known by God because they are born of God. That's why Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. You won't see it. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Amen. That's a very intimate way to address our Heavenly Father. Dearest Father, whoever has been born of God, 1 John 3:9, does not sin. Oh, anybody here not sin? For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. Now, how many have been puzzled over this one? I've been puzzled over this one. Oh, Lord, your word says, does not sin. But his seed remains in him. Oh, what seed? The seed of God, Christ, in you, the hope of glory. It does not mean that they have no sin. That would be a lie, correct? But that their lives are not characterized by sin. They don't live in habitual sin. Why? Because the fear of the Lord governs our hearts. So we cannot comfortably any longer live a life of sin. Come on. That's the difference. See, I was growing up, amen, in association with Christians and going to church and all that. But I didn't know the Lord. And therefore, I could sin with impunity, and it didn't really bother me too much. Why? Because I didn't have Christ in me. The fear of the Lord was not in me. I had not yet been born again. And that's why people who claim to be a child of God, born again Christian, amen, but they live a habitually sinful life, are lying. Somebody say amen. I'm not talking about struggling with sin. I'm talking about someone who can habitually live in sin and have no problem with it. And you have people like that who claim to be Christians. And all they're doing is bringing discredit on the Lord. Because whomsoever the Son sets free is free. That means we're free from the power of sin as God's people. Amen. It doesn't mean that we don't sin at times. Amen. But if we do, praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. We can turn to the Lord and amen and confess that, and He deals with it. It's already been covered by the blood. But we have to confess it. If you get your feet dirty, you got to wash your feet. Amen. You don't need an entire bath. Jesus was talking about people who did great wonders in His name. What was missing? Well, they never had a relationship with Jesus. It's clear. Because He said, I don't know you. Their lives are not characterized by relationship, but by sin. Rebellion, lawlessness. They live contrary. They lived according to their own will, not the will of God. they were Christians in name only. Well, they may have learned about him. They may have even taught about him. They may even had a YouTube podcast. Come on. But they never really knew him. Knowing him speaks of intimacy. Adam knew Eve. Come on. When you're born of the Spirit, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Come on. And the fear of the Lord is in you. And the law is written on your heart. And therefore, when we get out of line, amen, thank God we have the Holy Spirit there to convict us and say, you need to stop that. Amen. And it's the fear of the Lord that governs us now. And we immediately say, yes, Lord. Come on. I don't know about you, but on a daily basis, there's always something that happens. I just say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me. I know some of you might have gotten beyond that, but I'm still there. I'm still, there's just things that happen sometimes. Amen? I allowed a thought to go too far or whatever it might have been, right? My sheep, he said, hear my voice, John 10:27, and I know them. Are you his sheep? Well, if you're born again, you belong to him. You're his sheep. Amen? And he knows you. Amen? And we're getting to know him. This is what it's all about, getting to know the Lord, getting acquainted, learning who we are in him and who he is in us. And he says, I give unto them, my sheep, eternal life. And listen, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The devil doesn't take your soul. All souls belong to the Lord. And if you've committed your soul to him, he's faithful to keep it. Amen? Amen? And the fact that you may struggle, listen, with your thought life. Anybody struggle with your thought life? Or how about your speech? Or with lust? Or covetousness? Or addictions? Even as a believer? What is it? The fact that you are struggling is a sign that God is in you, working in you. Amen. Come on! Because before the Lord, you didn't care about that stuff. It's who you were, and it's what you did. Come on. But when the Spirit of God comes in, thank God, there is conviction by the Holy Spirit that will bring us back into order. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Thank you, Jesus, for conviction. And what does he do? He leads us to repentance. For what reason? That we may come into full freedom. Amen. Amen. Keep up the good fight. Amen. Amen. Yes. Enforce the victory that is yours. Amen. In the Lord. Yes. Refuse to give in to sin. Refuse to listen to the devil anymore. Refuse to allow your body to do the things it used to do. Yes. Amen. Because your body is no longer in charge. Amen. He is in charge of your body. It's his temple now. Amen. So we keep ourselves pure. And the Lord convicts us, praise God, the Holy Spirit does that. So we'll continue to call upon him for grace and mercy. He knows we're prone to wander. Come on, it's just what we struggle with. There's that other part of us that wants to go this way. And the Lord says, this is the way, walk in it. So thank God for that conviction, amen, that causes us to cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, help me. Lord, grant me grace. Grant me mercy. Grant me the ability to overcome this thing that I'm struggling with. Amen. And God says, everything you have need of, I've given to you already. For everything that pertains to life and godliness is already given to you in Christ Jesus. And you can live a holy life by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, because the one that is in you is what? Greater than the one that's in the world. I can do all things, not just some things, all things through Christ who strengthens me. John 16:7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. The Paraclete, right? The Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will do what? convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Amen. But those who are still slaves to sin, hear me, they don't care about the things that grieve the Lord. It was the Word of God, delivered by the Holy Spirit, that brought conviction to my heart. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, in other words, I'm just sorry I got caught or sorry for the mess I'm in, amen, results in spiritual death. But the kind of sorrow, the godly sorrow that is good for us is the Spirit bringing that to our remembrance, amen. And as we look at the cross, as we remember the price that Jesus paid for us in our redemption, amen, it should cause us to say, Lord, I don't ever, ever again want to do those things that cause that kind of suffering for you. I don't want to do anything that grieves my Lord. Because you don't want to grieve the one you love. You love Jesus, you'll obey His commandments. His command is to love. And when we love, we don't take advantage of people. We don't steal. Amen? We don't gossip about people. Come on, when we love Jesus. Peter and John. How many know Peter and John? Sons of thunder, right? We're just average fishermen. And guess what? They had no theological degrees. Obviously, they were disqualified for ministry, right? But people took note of them because they had what? Been with Jesus. I love this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the boldness, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. You understand? All we need is Him. We just need to be with Jesus. We just need to do life with the Lord every day. Stay connected to Him. Amen. And then out of our lives will flow life. Amen. Living water. You see, if preaching and miracles were proof of salvation, then Judas would not have been condemned. Judas partook of the anointing. Yes, he did. He went out healing the sick and casting out demons, but Judas was what we would say in association with the Lord, but never converted. In association without transformation. And the same thing is true today. There are people who do Christian things, go to Christian churches, come on, sing Christian songs, do Christian service. But if they have not been with Jesus, that they have never really been born again, amen, they're no different than Judas. Because that's who we are without Christ, amen. We're all lost. And so it's possible to be in association, to be around all this, amen, and yet never be born again. But when you're born again, it's different. That's what happened to me. It's like, man, it's a new day. It's a new day dawning. Amen. Hallelujah. The day spring on high has dawned in my heart. Hallelujah. If prophesying was the proof of being right with God, then the prophet Balaam would not have been rejected. Numbers 22, you can look it up. And again, Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. When a person is born again, they come under the authority of God. Amen? And the fear of the Lord is in their heart. And the fear of the Lord is a sign that you are coming to know the Lord truly, authentically. Amen? And His Spirit within you, the law that's within you by His Spirit, amen, will govern you so that you can no longer comfortably live a life that would bring discredit or reproach on the Lord. That's the difference. Amen. So it's more than words, isn't it? Anybody can claim to be a Christian. Anybody can confess even Jesus. Come on. But a tree, what? You'll know them by their fruits. And let me just say this too, that not all miracles, of course you knew this, right, are not of divine origin. And not all miracle workers are approved of God, obviously. That's what Jesus is talking about. A miracle simply means that a supernatural power is at work. And that power may be divine or satanic. As a matter of fact, all dunamis comes from God originally, amen? But Satan is a perverter. He takes the things of God and uses it in a perverse way. That's Satanism, right? And witchcraft. It's manipulation of God's power for personal gain. MacDonald said this as a commentator, Satan may empower his workers to cast out demons temporarily in order to create the illusion that the miracle is divine. They do that. Even people that go to witch doctors. Oh, my son has got a spirit that's caused an illness, you know, so they bring him to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor casts the spirit out using, guess what? Satanic power, another demon casting out a lesser demon, amen, only until he gets paid off. And all of a sudden, maybe a little while down the road, the boy has more problems now. Come on, because the enemy's going to come back. How many know the devil never does anything for you without requiring more in exchange? So he gives the illusion that he's doing a good thing by healing these people. For a price, of course. He's not going to divide his kingdom against itself in such a case. So no, he's not going to divide himself, but he will do it temporarily to give you the illusion that he's working for God. Now, I remember watching a video, short video, of a Christian pastor. And they followed him on his travels. Somebody was there with a camera, probably a phone. And this pastor was going to see a guru in India to receive the blessing of the guru. And after the pastor left the guru, he went back and now he's doing crusades and laying hands on people and they're being slain in the what spirit? I don't know. Do you understand? So the enemy is very deceptive. And so just because it's supernatural does not necessarily mean it's from God, amen? Or that the person that's doing that is a true servant of the Lord. So we need this thing called discernment. Amen. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. We need to be in the Word of God. Judge everything by the Spirit and the Word. Amen. And say, Lord, is this of you? And just don't go up and let anybody lay hands on you. You got people that run around, they're fire, you know, chasing fire trucks, if you will, going from one thing to the next. We have to be careful. Now, the Lord will give you discernment if you ask for it, amen, if you seek Him. Hallelujah. But don't ignore the little warning signs that God gives you. You know, that little uncomfortableness that's in your spirit. You're saying something. They're saying the right things. Seems like they're doing the right things. But something is just not right. Now, come on. Oh, it must be my imagination. Right? We've had some problems. I've been in ministry over, 30-something years now. Over 35 years. And we've had a few experiences along the way. You know? And we've had some people come in like a breath of fresh air, but they were operating in a different spirit. However, outwardly, they appeared to be super Christians. Call them super spirituals. I'm not a good actor, so I couldn't do that anyways, but, you know. People say, oh, that's just the carpenter's son there, right? Yeah, that's what they said about Jesus, but yet he was more than the carpenter's son. Amen. Hallelujah. But the thing is this. God wants us to have confidence in our covenant and his faithfulness to keep us, to not walk in fear, but to walk in confidence in the Lord, who is able to save and to keep us. Amen. And to protect us from the lies of the enemy. Because the enemy wants to get us off track. He wants us to chase after this thing and chase after that thing. I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person that sometimes I can be very focused. You know? And sometimes to my detriment, because I'm not paying attention to the things I should be also. But I get very focused. Amen? And sometimes we can get on a tangent, you know? And we can just be so focused on one thing that we're not paying attention to other things. Well, God wants to take the blinders off. Come on. Amen. We sometimes may be like that horse, but we really sometimes we need to see through the peripheral. We need to see, well, what's going on over here as well. I've used that illustration, you know, of the crocodile. You know, a crocodile is, you know, a very powerful beast. It can kill you. Amen. And how does the crocodile work? Well, he stays submerged, right? Under the water. Except for those little eyes that pop up over the water. So it just may look like maybe a stick floating in the water or something, right? But what we're not seeing is what's under the surface. Amen? Discernment will cause you to see what's going on underneath the surface. Not how things appear, but what's really going on. And the only way we can really know is by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Amen? To be able to discern. Because we're living in a time of great deception today. Amen? And we were just talking in the class earlier this morning about the fact that, you know what? Sometimes the best thing we can do is turn off all the YouTubes. I'm serious. I'm not saying, you know, that we're ignorant to what's happening. But the problem is that sometimes there's so much information and so many perspectives that we're subjecting ourselves to that all of a sudden now we're completely confused. What we need is the Spirit and the Word of God. We need to let the Holy Spirit refine and teach us so that when we see something, come on, we don't have to depend on somebody else to tell us. We can judge for ourselves, amen, because we have the Spirit and the Word. If it ain't what, it don't look like Jesus, it ain't acceptable, amen? And say the duck thing, yeah. But you know, a good way to look at this, I'm going to finish, is, I said that 10 minutes ago, no, I have two more chances at that. But... look at the witness of Scripture. Amen? Yes. The examples. Holy Spirit put that in there. Amen? So we can say, well, what did the apostles do? How did they live? How did they walk? Right? Come on. How did Jesus live and walk? Is this thing that I'm allowing line up with the witness? Come on. With the testimony of those who've gone before, who were sent by Jesus, who followed the lead of the Holy Spirit. Come on. If it doesn't look like Jesus, come on. If it's not something Jesus would do, as we had that thing going on, that fad, what would Jesus do, right? If it's not something that the apostles, amen, would have done or had done, then question it. Now, I'm not here to say that God can't give us a revelation of maybe we need an answer to prayer. That's different. But God's character, His nature, the way He does things does not change. He remains the same. Amen. So there's safety, amen, in knowing Him. And knowing His ways. Amen? So we're not deceived. And following after the latest fad, the latest thing that's coming out that people are doing. So many people are hungry right now for something authentic. Amen? And so they're searching. Amen. And the devil knows that. So he's raising up his people to deceive many. You and I know the truth because we are born of the Spirit and we have the truth in us. And so God's looking to use you and I to speak truth to others. Amen. Based upon the revelation of His Word and the Spirit that He gives us to discern what God is saying in the moment, what God is doing in the moment when we speak to people. When you're encountering and speaking to somebody, you in your heart, you say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, give me what I need to say. Come on. Now, oh, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? No, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Amen? And how many have found the Holy Spirit faithful? Yeah. Amen? When you find yourself engaged in a conversation, and sometimes, man, it's like I didn't have an answer, but all of a sudden I had an answer because the Holy Spirit dropped it in. Thank you, Lord. So we're not on our own out there. Amen? We have the helper, the paraclete. Amen? We have the teacher in us to lead us into all truth. And I say these things because I love you. I appreciate you. I want to see every one of us, amen, walking in integrity. Walking in the fear of the Lord, amen, and honoring the Lord by the way we live our lives. And I want everybody to be discerning, amen. And in us, we're praying in the Holy Spirit, amen, and in the Word, we can easily be deceived. Amen. We need to stay clear-headed, amen. Hallelujah. And as we pray in the Holy Spirit will turn the light on. Amen. And we'll be able to see clearly. As a matter of fact, it'll be a spotlight so you can see what's going on under the water. Oh, I see what's going on here. You look, you sound, you seem to be all that, but the Holy Spirit just revealed something that you thought nobody could see. Amen. So we rely upon the Lord every day. So listen, you're loved by the Lord, aren't you? Amen. And I'm speaking to the choir this morning. Amen. But the choir needs teaching too, right? Or reminders even, right? So hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the time we've had together. I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for giving us your Word. Thank you for giving us your Spirit. Lord, we can't know truth without you. So we pray, Lord, that you would bless and keep each one of us. Keep a hedge of protection around each one of us. Lead every one of us, Lord, in the will of God, the way of the Lord. Use us. Make us a blessing, Lord, in this world. Lord, we want you to shine through our lives. We want people to know you. So use us, Lord, as vessels to lead people to Jesus. We're asking in your name, Lord. And we're asking you to bless the time of fellowship we have together and the food we're about to receive. Bless all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.